Young single mom who lived close to the church, and she had two young boys, and she was having a lot of trouble with them. And so her plan was to go down and talk to the pastor, because she really needed somebody to put the fear of God in these boys. She couldn't always be around them, and she wanted them to know that God was always there. And so he said, okay, well, I tell you what, send the younger one in. So she came back. Like I said, she didn't live far. And so she dropped him off, and he had never been in a pastor's office. He's a little nervous, a little intimidated. And the pastor said, have a seat. And he sat in this big cushiony chair there by the pastor's office. And the pastor said, young man, he looked down over his glass, says, young man, where is God? And the boy didn't know how to answer, and he sat up in his chair, got a little nervous, and the pastor said again, young man, this is not a hard question. Where is God? And the boy was really nervous now, and finally the pastor said, young man, I'm not going to ask you again. Where is God? That boy jumped up out of that chair, ran out of that pastor's office, down the street, back to his house, come running in the door, went to that bedroom that he shared with his brother and slammed the door, and he was out of breath. And his older brother said, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, oh, we're in trouble now. We're in trouble now. I said, well, what happened? He said, you're not going to believe this, but God is missing and they think we took him. So tonight, I want to read you a story from John's Gospel. And again, like last night, there's a lot of things we could talk about in this story. A lot of things in John 21. Because you see, this is a story about fishing. And in this community, as I've been told more than once since I've been here, there's a few people that like to fish. And that's a good thing. I raised three boys, as I told you last night, and I took them fishing. And one of them took it so serious, now he's a game warden. And so I learned a lot about fishing now from my son. There was a time where I taught him, but now I learned from him. But this isn't so much a story about fishing as it is about a group of people that almost missed a great opportunity because they were missing God. Now let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 21. And of course, this was after the crucifixion and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. And starts out in John's Gospel, John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifests himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifests himself in this way. Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll also come with you. They went out, got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now think about it. Fishermen all night, they caught nothing. Verse 4, but then the day was now breaking. Jesus stood on the beach. Yet, here's what I want you to see. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. I'm convinced of this, that it's possible for us to go through our life's experiences and sometimes miss seeing God. As we sang even tonight about God will make a way. Sometimes we find that hard to say because of things that are going on in our world. But I want to just give you a few things if I could. First of all, I think this could be, but don't panic, it's not going to be. This could be a 15-point sermon. I mean, there could be 15 things that we could talk about in this passage. There's just so much in here. But I want to just lift up, if I could, just three of them. First of all, I believe we can miss God when we think the task is too big. When we think something is too big for us to do, we could miss God. Now, these are actually work gloves that I put on when I'm going to attempt something besides standing behind a pulpit. And I actually have used these on occasions. And so when I put these on, it's an attempt to do something. But let me ask you a question. Okay? What's the most valuable thing about these gloves right now? What's that? Okay. The most valuable thing, not a trick question again, most valuable thing is right, they're there to protect. But what makes them valuable now? My hands are in them. Because see, by themselves, they just lay on a workbench and they do absolutely no work. I mean, there's no switch to turn them on. There's no set of instructions that came with these. They won't do any work. And so when we're faced with a task, we have to be reminded on the outside, it may appear these gloves are doing the work. But on the inside, it's really our hands doing the work. And you see, when we're faced with something so big, we need to remember that if God is on the inside of us, He's going to make that way. He's going to make it. Because you see, sometimes, like these guys, the first thing they were faced with is they realize, hey, Jesus is not here all the time. How are we going to do this? And the first thing they went to do was, let's go back to what we were doing. Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. And you see, sometimes when things get so out of hand, when things get hard for us, and we have to learn change, and we have to learn what some have called a new normal. Sometimes the task seems so big. Sometimes the news that we just got, or the situation we're in seems bigger than us. And so we run the risk when we start to look how big it is, then we run the risk of missing God. Now, we all know the story of David and Goliath. It's a great children's story, but it's a great story for us. Because you see, in that story, the first thing David had to overcome was what everybody else realized was thinking is, that giant is too big. And that's the reason why for 40 days he came out there and challenged anybody to take on him. Anybody. And so that was the first thing. And then David began to realize it was God that was going to do it. Because you see, when David went into that, and he never asked once, think about this, he never asked once to make God make that giant run away, or to make him bigger, or to make the giant smaller. He simply said, make me brave enough to go take this on. And so when we're faced with a task, when we're faced with something, like these disciples, where all of a sudden they ran the risk of missing God because it seemed too big for them. And they didn't get the true clarity that they would need. They didn't begin to understand that they were going to miss God. In fact, it plainly says they did not know it was Jesus. Now, he wasn't wearing a disguise, but they were so involved in what they were involved in and thinking they had to do it all by themselves, they weren't even looking for him. I've got a friend of mine who lives in Orlando. His name is Fred, and he's a painter. If Fred got in your front seat and drove through any neighborhood in America, he's going to see houses that need to be painted. Fred's an expert in that. That's all it is. I got a brother that knows everything about cars. And if he gets in my car, he hears noises I never hear. And so he gets in the front seat and he said, "Do you hear that?" And I reach over and turn off the radio. I said, "Nope, don't hear a thing." Because why? Because he learns to listen for things. And you and I need to become that kind of experts so that we can begin to see God in places that we think he's not. That we think he's left us all alone and we're in this task by ourselves. But he's there. And I don't want you to miss him. I don't want to miss him. Even as daunting as some things, such as the word is cancer, God is not going to leave you alone. He is going to be there with you But sometimes we get so caught up in it, we can be like, these aren't just any ordinary Bible characters. These are the guys that spent 3 years with Jesus. If anybody knew what he looked like, it would have been them. I mean, don't you remember even in the garden, they told Judas, identify the right one. We want to make sure we get the right guy. So it wasn't like, well, who is that guy? No, it was because they weren't even looking for him. They had taken on this task and said, you know, the only way, we're just going to have to go back. We're going to have to go back and do what we did before. So we can miss God when the task is too big. We also can miss God when we can't trust what is going on. When we are not sure what is going on. Now, when it comes to trust, this is not a big board. But I just want you to know right now, I'm not afraid to stand on this board. That doesn't make me a very brave person, does it? Okay? I'm not trusting anything other than this platform really to hold me up. But if I was to take that board and go stand on the edge of a 20-story building, that'd be a different story. That'd be a different story about trust. Because there, I'd have to trust not in my ability, but something else to hold me. And so sometimes we try to go in because we're trying, the reason we're missing God is because we're trusting in our ability, not God's ability. I said to you last night, there's some things God can't do. I told him about God can't lie. I'll tell you something else God can't do. Okay, let's try this, okay, on the count of three. Now, we're not going to do this very long because some of you may be tired and I don't want you not to open your eyes, but I want everybody to close your eyes just for a minute. One, two, three, go. Close your eyes. Everybody's eyes closed? Okay, open your eyes. Right there, you did something God can't do. God can never stop looking at you. He can't. He never goes to sleep. He never closes his eyes. There's never a time where he doesn't see you. Because you see, if our trust level is such that we're trusting in what we do, that's when the problem happens. Now I want to tell you something. That trust starts when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's where that trust starts. And tonight, I want to make sure that this is very clear. And just like the very first time, if somebody ever asked me, I was 19 years old, and someone asked me for the first time, Craig, are you a Christian? I said, well, of course I'm a Christian. This is America. There's only two kinds of people, the kind that believe in God and the kind that don't. And I believe in God, so I'm one of the good guys. He took me to a story in John's Gospel about a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. And he told me this story about Nicodemus. And he said, you know, he was one of the most religious men that Jesus ever had a conversation with, just one-on-one. But do you know what Jesus saw in him that he didn't even see in himself? Is that they didn't have a relationship. In fact, it was so dramatic. He said, Zacchaeus, this is going to be so dramatic, it's going to be like you've got to be born again. You've got to start all over. And Nicodemus didn't understand that. He even said, now wait a minute, I cannot enter again into my mother's womb. No, Jesus said, no, you're missing the point. He said in John chapter 3, it's like the wind. You don't know where it's going, you don't know where it's come from, but you can see what it does. Now folks, I don't understand electricity. I really don't understand color television. I don't know how that gets everywhere it gets. But that didn't stop me from using it. And that moment, as a 19-year-old college freshman, I didn't understand everything about trust. But I knew that I didn't have a relationship with Jesus personally. I had some religion. I mean, I had a little bit of religion. Not a lot. Just enough, in a sense, to make me feel comfortable. Okay. I can remember just in those early days how eager I was to read my Bible. Because suddenly, for the first time in my life, there was this trust thing and this relationship, and I really did. I can remember really just wanting to actually see God. I mean, literally see God. I even asked this guy, can I do that? He said, you can see him in the things that happen in your life. And so, yes, you can see God. Now, I can remember, Pastor, I can remember this. I can remember going to church and taking a Bible. Now, I hadn't taken a Bible before. I'd been to church, but I hadn't taken a Bible. And the guy would say, turn to Psalms. And I'd open my Bible and I'd start to turn. I'd hear all those pages turning. And you know what? When they stopped, I stopped. Didn't matter where I was. You know, and it was 3 weeks. I never did catch up with that guy. So I finally stayed after church one Sunday, and I asked him, and this was a serious question. I can remember just like it was yesterday. Has anybody ever given any thought to putting this thing in alphabetical order? Because I could sure find the books of the Bible if they were in alphabetical order, but you guys mixed them all up in here. What's going on? Why'd you do that? Well, now I understand the storyline, but at the time, I didn't understand it. And so my challenge to you tonight is, do you have that relationship? Is there a point in your life where you're sure? Not that you just sort of evolved into it and you're a religious person, but is there a point in your life where you can say, that's when I came to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? And if you can say that, then the next step along your journey is simply that whole idea of trusting Him. If you trust Him for eternity, then you need to trust Him for tomorrow. You know, we somehow think, well, I know you got me covered on John 3:16. I know you got me covered, but you don't know what I'm facing tomorrow. Yeah, He does know. That's what He specializes in. He specializes in tomorrow. He tells us in Jeremiah, He has a plan for you. He knows what's ahead. He knows it. You know, tomorrow is an interesting word when you think about it. Some people misunderstand and abuse that, you know, and they'll tell you, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, there's certain cultures that say, I'll do it mañana. Tomorrow doesn't mean they'll actually do it tomorrow. It just means they're not going to do it today. There's actually a place down in, if you get down close to Key West, there's a bar down there that's painted on the side. I mean, painted on the side of it. It says, free beer tomorrow. I've stopped in there before and asked the guy. I said, what's that like? He said, oh, people stop in here all the time. I said, what do they say? Their first question is, what time do you open tomorrow? And I say to them, you do know that says tomorrow, right? He goes, yeah, we'll be here tomorrow. He goes, yeah, well, then the sign tomorrow will say tomorrow. And he says he has to tell people that all the time, but it gets people to stop in there. The whole point is that whole concept of trust in tomorrow. And my question for you tonight is, are you really trusting Him for tomorrow? You know, you're going to go to sleep tonight. Are you going to get up tomorrow knowing that He already knows tomorrow? It's important for us to understand that. So as we go through this and we seek first the kingdom of God and we get into this whole idea in Matthew 6 about worry and how God says, no, trust me on this. You don't have to worry about it. I got it covered. And we've got to learn to trust. And these guys here had made a decision. They had caught nothing all night and they didn't realize it. And Jesus even says in verse 5, so Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? Now listen, when God asks a question in the Bible, it's not because He doesn't know the answer. You go all the way back to the very first question He ever asked. Cain, where's your brother? It wasn't a game of divine hide and seek and he didn't know where he was. He asked questions all the way through the Bible to teach us something. I'm convinced, by the way, some of the smartest people in the room are the ones with the best questions. But he asked a question here. And in his question, he was getting them to say, hey, listen, I know what's going on in your life. You got to trust me. I'm not naive. I know you fished all night. I know you caught nothing. And I know that's become a barrier to you seeing me and trusting me. So you and I need to understand He knows exactly what's going on in your world. And it's up for us to now to say, okay, and if we don't trust him for these things, that's when we miss him. That's when we miss him. The story is told as years ago up in New England, there was a town that was in a financial crisis because of the way the community was built around the summer tourist business and yachts and everything that came. And they got wind that they were not going to be able to sell gas down along the waterfront because of the Environmental Protection Agency said, in those days, it was called something else. This was, you know, probably 50 years ago. But anyway, they weren't going to be able to sell it. And so all these ships weren't going to come, and they were just, you know, how are we going to overcome this? We don't have the money to move this back away from the water. We're just going to have to close this down. And so they were having a big town hall meeting. And there was a man who came and sat in the back. And during the moment, he asked if he could speak. And they said, sir, you don't live in this community. He said, no, but I bring my boat here. I'd like to. No, sir, if you don't live here, you probably can't help us. He goes, okay. So he got up, and as he started to walk out, there was another guy who was coming late to the meeting. He came late to the meeting, and just as those two met at the door, he shook his hand, and he knew who he was. And he came in, and this guy was all excited, and he said to a guy, he said, well, did he help us? He goes, what? He goes, did he help us? He said, who? He said, do you know who was just sitting here? He said, do you mean that guy they wouldn't let speak? He goes, well, I don't know about that, but that was John Rockefeller. He has more money than we know what to do with. Did he give us any of it? And the guy said, they wouldn't even listen to him. Now, I want you to know something tonight. I don't know what you're facing, but I can tell you this. It's not bigger than God. It's not bigger than God. So we've got to get over this idea and realize that we don't want to miss God because we don't trust. The last thing in this whole story that keeps coming out to me is the idea we can miss God because time is not communicated. I pulled the clock here that I didn't have my big clock with me, so I pulled this little clock. I can't plug it in so you can see it, but this is really a clock. Clocks are interesting things, aren't they? We see them all the time now. I mean, they're on telephones, they're on watches, they're on calculators, they're on microwaves, they're on our stove. We don't have to go very far to find something to know what time it is. Now, when they change the time, we always get confused. You know, we just went through that. You know, 6 months from now, we'll be the same confused-looking people. But the interesting thing about this whole story is, as they're going through it, is time is not really communicated. This whole idea of how long this was going to go on. You see, the thing that you want to keep in mind when you think about any Bible story. Now think about this. You know, none of those guys, Daniel, David, Paul, Peter, none of those ever got out of bed and thought, you know, I wonder what I'm going to look like when they teach me about me in Sunday school. They never did that. You see, they just thought they were just normal people. The second thing about all these stories is they never knew how it was going to end. In fact, if you read one of them, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, we're not going to bow down. And our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. There was no guarantee. Well, see, in this story, they didn't know as they were out there fishing how it all was going to end. There's no time element. And you know that's true for you and me. I mean, our story is being written one day at a time. We have this book, and some of you, including me, have some chapters in our book that we wish weren't there. There were some things that we've had to endure that we really wish we could take that chapter out. But time is not communicated, but we can miss God if we just operate on our time. I said to you last night, one of my frustrations is God doesn't wear one of these. And I've said more than once, God, do you know how long we've prayed? Do you know how long we've been waiting? We've agonized over this, and we've struggled with this, and we've prayed. And it seems like sometimes you give us a glimmer of hope, but we don't know. This thing's going to drive me crazy. We don't know. And I'm sure each of you could give a situation that you've been, and we've got one in our family that's been going on for a long time, and we keep thinking, this is the end, we're getting close. And then it keeps moving. It keeps moving on us. And it's a challenge because I don't want to miss God because the time is not communicated. And so that's the challenging thing for us. And in this story, the disciples didn't know, and they thought, hey, I'm going to go back to fishing. And then when they recognized Jesus, and then he was gone again. It was a short time that they got to spend with him, and then all of a sudden, they looked around and he was gone. And so you and I have to be careful because the time is not communicated. And Isaiah tells us that we need to wait on God. And when we do, that's when we'll renew our strength. And the psalmist said, my times are in your hands. It's up to you, God. Because I want this to be a bridge to you, not a barrier. I want the plans that you have for me. I want the promises you have for me. I want the power you have for me to be a bridge for me, not a barrier. And so we have to decide. We have to be careful because tonight we can miss God. Tonight we can miss God just like they did. These were the men that knew exactly what Jesus looked like. They got to walk the earth with him. And here in this story, the Bible tells us they did not know it, who it was. So you can be a very religious person. You can be here every single service. But when you walk out that door and you go through life, you could miss seeing God. You could miss it. I could miss it. And somehow we need to slow down. Sometimes we need to take time to listen and to look and to say, I do see you, God. I do see you. There's an interesting passage found in the book of Hebrews that it said that Moses saw him who was invisible. That's what allowed Moses to do what he did. How about you? Do you see the one who's invisible? Or is the task too big and now you've taken your eyes off of him and you put it on the task? Or is the trust element is that you think you got to do it and so it's shifted from you having to do it from God doing it? Or is this time element gotcha? Is that it's not moving fast enough. And I don't know how the story ends. And I want to know how it ends. Well, as I told you last night, read the last book of Revelation. You'll see how it ends. We're on the winning team. That's how it ends. The last almost 18 years, God's allowed me to serve at the Florida Baptist Convention and as the state director of missions. A lot of things I've got to do, and quite a few of them, is I get to go on a lot of mission trips. I get to travel a lot. And so stories about travel intrigue me. I heard one just the other day that I want to end with. There was a gentleman who tells the story that he got on an airplane. He was a seasoned traveler, well-seasoned. When he gets on an airplane, he's on an aisle seat. He knows just how his stuff fits up above him. He knows what to take out. What to insert. He knows the whole routine. He could probably give the little safety demonstration that the stewardess does. He travels so much. He knows exactly what's going on. And he said, I got on a plane. I did all that. And as I looked over right across the aisle from me, came and sat by herself a girl about 12 years old. She had a little book bag. She opened her little book bag and she took a book out. Before that plane even took off, she began to read. And he said, you know, we did all the other stuff you do on a plane. You get up in the air and we're flying along. And all of a sudden the pilot comes on and said, folks, we're anticipating a little bit of turbulence. We're going to have our stewardess sit down. We should be through this pretty quickly. And he said, you know, I know all about turbulence. I've been there, done that. Don't think much about it. But this got a little crazy. I mean, this plane was rocking. And he said, it got so crazy, I heard somebody behind me doing the Lord's Prayer. He said, this got a little crazy. I looked over, turned around and looked, and a couple rows back, there was some lady, she was crying. And then I thought, what about that girl? And I looked over there, and she's reading a book. She's reading a book. And he said, this was amazing. He said, you know, this lasted longer than turbulence normally lasts, and it was a little crazy. I didn't know if we were going to have to make an emergency landing or if suddenly we were going to drop out of the sky or whatever. And he said, you know, I was really nervous. But we got out of it. We landed. As soon as we hit the ground, I unbuckled my seatbelt, and I got down on one knee, and I said to that girl, I said, I just got to know. How'd you do that? How'd you do that? I mean, there's grown people behind you crying. There's people back here wondering if they should, you know, write a note to their relatives that going to find on their body when this plane crashes. And you're reading a book. She closed the book and said, well, this morning when we got up, my dad told me we'd be home tonight. And he said, well, you know, little girl, that's nice that your dad told you that. That's a good word. I'm glad your dad told you that, but I still don't understand how you went through that. She said, oh, maybe I should tell you. My dad, he's the pilot. Now let me ask you this. Who's your pilot? Who are you trusting? Who are you going to use to face that big task? Who are you going to use when the time seems longer than you want it to be? Who are you trusting? Now listen, there's going to come a time when everybody's going to be at the end of the road. And you got to make sure that you've trusted God, first of all, for your salvation. Nicodemus was one of the most religious men in the Bible. But Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. I don't want you to leave here thinking it's just a matter of if I'm good enough, it's all good. Because it's not. But I also don't want you to leave here thinking that you're going to carry the load. And you're not going to trust in God. And you're going to miss God. Even though He's right there beside you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for tonight. I thank You for each person in here. And Lord, I know that even in my own life, there have been times where I've not trusted You. That the job seemed too big. That the time element dragged on longer than I wanted. And I've just not trusted You. And I've missed You. There have been times. But Lord, I do know that there was a time where I trusted You for my salvation. And Lord, my prayer is there's not a person that leaves here tonight that won't know that. And Lord, my prayer also is those that walked in with burdens that are huge would walk out of here knowing that You're with them and that You've never taken Your eyes off of them. And just like Jesus showed up that next morning after those people had been out there all night, Lord, I want You to show up in their lives and make Yourself plain and clear to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to stand and sing a song.